Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
It is so good to have you back for Mar Mocha. This is Bobby Rivers. Mocha, as you know by now, if you follow this podcast, stands for Man of a Certain You and Age. Yes, proud to be black, proud to be over 50. How much over 50? I'm not telling you. I'm much too sober to go into that right now. And with my producer friend, Keith Price.
Hello. Keith. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm all right.
We are talking about films, TV, Broadway's, news, whatever the heck we want, and our color and our age will color our opinions. So there. I want to start off by saying, you know, folks, I don't know if I can live in a world. Am I worthy of living in a world in which Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive? You know?
Why are you doing me this way, Bobby? Why are we starting off like that, Bobby? Come on now. It's like, really? Really? Really?
Really?
Blake, you know, Shelton?
I'm a lovely man, I'm sure. I've never met him. I do watch him on The Voice, but I want to see the staff. I want to see the People Magazine staff. I want to see what they look like. Before I go marching into that room and say, okay, have you all just never seen Mahershala Ali?
Okay.
Idris Elba? Idris Elba? Or well, that Milo on This Is Us? What's his? It's a
Milo Ventimiglia. Oh. He's gorge. And in person, gorge.
Yes.
So.
Blake Shelton.
Like, who, what bet did he win? Because.
No. How did this happen? And of course, they were excited to reveal the news on Good Morning America.
Interesting. On who the guy's on a show that's opposite theirs, but okay, on a different network. But okay, y'all go ahead.
Oh yeah, but and here's why: there's a corporate connection to People Magazine and ABC Disney. That explains why.
All right. Yeah. Well, there they go. Really? And then, really? You know, the other thing that was happening is they were saying that Ben Platt, who is currently in Dear Evan Hansen here on Broadway, is like the hot Broadway person. And I was like, really? Have y'all met Ramin Karimloo? Like, do you know who Cheyenne Jackson is? Like, yeah. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a sweet guy, but he's not sexy to me at all, but whatever.
Very lovely gentleman. But
exactly.
I don't know. I thought there was a joke. I woke up this morning and saw that, Blake Shelton, the sexiest man alive. And I thought, okay, am I having a 1960s acid flashback? Did I just have some bad mushrooms?
Like, when?
What happened?
When did he, he's a good looking guy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he is.
But. Okay. All right.
Okey-dokey.
You know, that's what's cranking their chain. I'm sure that there's a formula that went into that somehow.
That's it. There's probably some formula where they say, well, he's on a hit show. Mm-hmm.
He looks good in jeans. I'm not mad at the jeans. The jeans he looks good in. I'm just saying, but that ain't enough.
Oh, Lord. Okay, listen, there are a couple of, I mentioned Good Morning America. Let's go into primetime on ABC.
Yes.
There's a couple of ABC shows that I want people to give a chance to.
All right, tell me.
They're new, and both have black people on them. So, hook a brother and sister up with an extra paycheck. These shows. Now, they're on Tuesdays, which is the same night that This Is Us is on, isn't it?
Yes.
So they're probably, if you can, a DVR, This Is Us, or whatever you do, I want you to give a chance to The Mayor.
Yes.
The Mayor is, I am loving this show. I watched The Mayor because the actress who plays the mayor's mother, Yvette Nicole Brown, I have been a fan of hers forever. Back to like 2005, when she just broke me the hell up in an episode of Fat Actress. Fat Actress was a sitcom that lasted maybe one or two seasons, and it starred Kirstie Alley as a fat actress. This show was her production. And there's an episode where Kirstie Alley is pitching a show to network executives who are just basically laughing behind her back because she's full figured. You know, and she admits, she says, okay, I'm a little overweight, but who is the only person in the room who can deal with her is the one black man who's an executive at NBC.
Ooh.
And he takes her out to dinner, and there's a sister at the table nearby who's like, what? What? I know you better be what you doing with my woman? It was so real. It was so real. She just broke me up. And I followed her in Parks and Recreation. Wasn't she on that show?
Yes, she was.
She's wonderful. The mayor, tell you the plot. You have a young hip-hop artist trying to promote his rap CD and kind of, as a lark, runs for mayor of his, you know, small town, but he gets elected. So now he's the mayor. The show is about, it's really telling you that the most ordinary person can do extraordinary things in a community. And he gets the job of mayor. He's taken it seriously. And it's not always easy, but he's got, I think the actor's name is Brandon Michael Hall, such a warm personality. And his mother is a single working mother. She works for the post office. He's got two friends that she has basically been a mother to. These three guys are so, they are a comedy trio. They just fabulous. Work it. And she is wonderful. There is a wonderful mother-son relationship on that sitcom. So please give it a chance. Again, The Mayor on ABC. And I read recently that it got picked up for three more episodes. So
only three episodes?
Yeah, I know. But you know what? It's ABC. Three more paychecks. So I'm wondering if ABC is trying to decide if they want to keep it opposite This Is Us. But I would really like if folks would give that show a chance.
Well, that sounds like an option.
Yeah. Oh.
And what's the other one?
The other one is Kevin Saves the World.
Oh.
Now, this stars Jason Ritter, who was the son of the late John Ritter, who was also of the ABC family. Remember?
And on a TV show on a Tuesday night. How you doing?
How you doing? Right. Yeah. Three's Company. And for you classic film fans, if you ever saw the old movie High Noon starring Gary Cooper and Grace Kelly, and one of the most famous aspects of that, elements of that, is the theme song, Oh, Don't Forsake Me, Oh, My Darling. That was sung by...
What was that?
Yeah, I know. We're trying to sound butch. But I sounded like Lord Bacall in Applause. Hurry back.
Who's that girl with the... Don't get me started.
Leading Louise astray. Look at her now. It's 1946.
Teenage Margot, queen of the 40s tricks. Come on now. Hey, Barbarima.
Oh, God.
Oi! That's our deviation because you know what? We can. Go ahead, Bubble Up.
Yes, because we can. Okay, so Jason Ritter is the son of the late John Ritter, and Tex Ritter, who sang the ballad to High Noon.
That's right.
Is the grandfather of Jason Ritter. Now, Kevin Saves the World has elements of two classic Jimmy Stewart movies, just for the sake of conversation. It's a Wonderful Life is the first one. And why it does is because in the first episode, and I think this is the reason why I love this show, because it was rooted in some real heartbreak. Kevin was one of these, you know, hotshot, we used to call him yuppies. He's making money on Wall Street. He's like gotten away from the family. It's all about money. His life falls apart and he attempted suicide. And now his life is coming back together with the help of this celestial presence, a black woman named Yvette. Okay. And she comes back into, and he's like, well, who are you? And he's, are you an angel? I said, well, not quite, but you know what? You have free will, and the universe has something for you to do. So you have to decide, do you want to follow the universe's plan or exercise free will? So Kevin is healing the relationship with his sister. He's living with his sister, who was a single working mother, and the daughter was very angry in the early episodes, but as she gets to know her Uncle Kevin, she starts to warm up and become happier with her life. So in the town, people are wondering, well, Kevin's back and he seems to do better, but it's like, Harvey, who's he talking to? They can't see that he's talking to, he's like, are you talking to a giant invisible rabbit? No, he's talking to an invisible black woman.
Named Yvette.
Yvette. So, and it's just, and again, Ritter is a pro at doing comedy. His physicality is so good. There's great chemistry between him and the actress who's, everybody has three names now. Her name is Kimberly Hebert Gregory. And last night's, the recent episode?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it was Kevin's helping a friend from his high school days, and her mom had been stricken with terminal cancer. And I'm sitting up there, because, I lost my mom this year.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that, and I'm my sister walks into the room. It's smoky in here. I'm not crying.
I'm all right. Don't look at me! Don't look at me! Because big girls don't cry!
I love him, but he's a hot mess. Because I was sitting up there, I really was. I was watching the end of the episode, I'm crying. And I admit it, I had a plate of chicken nuggets on my lap. So I'm crying, eating nuggets.
Ooh, child. That's like, reminds me of when on my ABC TV moment with my parents when my mother was still in the nursing home and my father had gotten ill and I had to go back to Texas. And I'd never watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy because I had that personal boycott back in the day with Isaiah Washington and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I get home now. I had spent the entire day first at the nursing home with my mother doing all the stuff my father did for her, then going to the hospital and watching him in the hospital and dealing with him. And then I came home, and the one time I decided to watch TV, it's the episode where Deborah Monk is T.R. Knight's mom, and the father was supposed to have surgery. He has surgery, and then he died on the table.
Episode.
And I was sitting in my house in Galveston, Texas, alone, watching this thing, and child, tears that came within, I'm so glad no one was there, and I cried for like a good 10, 15 minutes, like, what is this world? And I was realizing, and in that moment, it was that I had no control over the situation, which is what I was kind of getting from the show, and... So after that, I went over to Little Caesars and got me some pizza. Just saying, that's how you got to do your grief and stuff,
Which is why we're never selected to be sexiest man alive.
So they can enjoy them some Blake Shelton. We'll just watch the mayor and Kevin saves the world and go on with our days. How about that? You eat your nuggets, I'm going to eat me some pizza there. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Wow. So please give those two ABC shows a chance. Kevin and Kevin also got picked up for three more episodes.
That's so funny. It's like they're doing it a la carte.
Isn't it weird? Remember, like, when we were kids, like, a season was like...
The whole year from September... It was September to May. That was pretty much the season. And once the show started, it did not end until May. And then it gave it a whole season to try to pick up people, find ways to get caught on. Now, honey, if you ain't hitting some cute Nielsen numbers those first 2 weeks, you are out.
That's true. Have to get Super Bowl ratings in the premiere episode.
And then the thing is once you do that, and if it starts to fall off, then they just drop you like a hot rock anyway. So what? You know, think back,
I remember like the early, our family was with the show from the first episode. The Mary Tyler Moore Show, it took about a good 3 or 4 episodes for that to really find, you know, its groove.
I mean, think about that now.
I went, dang.
I mean,
would it have had a chance today?
Nothing would have had a chance. Think about stuff like Maude, All in the Family, Good Times. All of those shows that it took us at least the season to kind of get used to what was happening, or, you know, it took us like at least a good first half of the year to finally go, you know, as much as I don't like Archie Bunker, I'm enjoying laughing at him because he is really ridiculous. And he's also a reflection of some piece of time, whereas everybody else is like trying to move forward. So it's sort of like it kind of had a place in the time period. Now, I don't know if any of those would work. I mean, imagine MASH now. You would never get through all the way of MASH.
Oh, and that was on for years.
Yes.
For years.
None of those shows would have ever had the energy, the longevity, or if they were using the standards by which they use today to decide what show is a hit. You know what I mean?
I sure do.
And the thing is that was back in the time when we didn't have cable. You know what I mean? So, like...
So, we just left it on the channel.
Yes. And that's how the rating system worked. It's like, now, you know, if you bore me on TV, I can shoot right over to TV Land. I can shoot over to HBO. I can go to AMC. I can go see all of these other shows.
And I don't have to get up and turn the channel. I can just stay right where I am.
And do what I got to do. So... Well,
you know, in our black neighborhoods, you know, back in the old days, it used to be, I have to get up, go to the TV, and adjust the coat hanger that we're using as an antenna.
To change for them three channels.
The three channels.
And that one local station.
speaking of local stations, I got to tell you, I was on Twitter the other day, and one of my Twitter buddies posted a clip from an old show, and I went, oh Lord, help me, Jesus. It can't be. All right. I didn't look at the whole thing, but on Twitter, there are episodes. It's like one long piece. I think it probably runs like maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I'm in it, but my first ever TV appearance in which I spoke. I was a contestant on a game show in Hollywood.
Oh my God.
Called The Movie Game. Okay.
Oh, fabulous.
Okay. So I haven't told a lot of, but that was my first appearance because the history of that was, I was reading the LA Times and I'm like a sophomore in high school in the summer. And there was an ad for Movie Buffs. So, but you had to go to Hollywood and take a written test. And it said for a new game show. So I told my sister, she said, well, you know, mommy going to let you do that because it's going to be, you know, she has to either drive you out there or you got to take the bus. But my sister, who was sort of like the youngest sister on Black-ish, she said, what you have to do is make her think it's her idea. Which was true. I saw this ad and I said, wow, it says Movie Bus, and I love movies. And you had to go out to Hollywood and take it. I wonder if they're going to have any black folks out from South Central LA. And Mom said, probably not. Ooh. They probably have no representation of black people on that show. You could take that test and show them what it's like to know about old movies. But you know what? You don't listen to me.
Well, all right, Mom.
Okay. Next thing I know, we're in a Valiant driving to Hollywood.
To make her think it's her idea.
Make her think it. So I went in, and I'm the youngest person in the room and the only black person in the room.
Naturally.
I take the test. I did better on that test than I did on my SATs. I was
like, because you know what? There was more riding on it.
It was. It was like, what was the Wall of Jericho when it happened one night? A blanket. Okay. Name four famous Powells in the movie. William, Jane, Eleanor, Dick. Who named two actresses and two versions of A Star Is Born? Janet Gaynor, Judy Garland. You know,
Is this supposed to be a challenge?
Right, exactly. So I take the test. I give it to the woman who was like the one of the producers, senior producers for the show. Mm-hmm. There is a meeting. I see like these white folks huddled in a corner. They come up to me and it said, okay, do you have time to stay for another test? And I said, yeah, sure. So they took me in a room where there was just a screen, like visual flashcards. They just had slides and they would show a scene from a movie. Name the movie.
Please, people. You're insulting me.
Lost Horizon. Love Affair. Irene Dunne. The Wizard of Oz. Gone with the Wind. Jezebel.
Is this All About Eve.
Right. I'm doing, you know. Then they said, okay, how did you get here? My mother's in the car. Then they said, can we go out to we want to meet your mother. So they're talking. My mother gets out of the car. She comes over. I stand back. I see her talking to these white folks. And then she turns and looks at me like, you got to be kidding me.
Uh-oh.
They wanted me on the show. She was like, they want you on the show. So they wanted me first to go on to be an understudy just to get used to the studio. So I'm there and I'm standing next to famous movie stars I have seen on the TV in classic movies. And my mother's with me. And she's like, I cannot believe this is happening.
I didn't think he was going to make it this far.
When I finally got on, I had my celebrity. Each contestant had two celebrity teammates. And they made a special episode. It was two teenage guys. My opponent, white dude from Redondo Beach. I think he was like 17. He was definitely older. He had David Jansen, TV actor, and Diane Cannon, who had just divorced Cary Grant. So it's David Jansen, who was on The Fugitive, the TV series, and Diane Cannon. I had Hugh O'Brien and Phyllis Diller.
Wow.
My teammates.
Wow.
And it was the first show with teen contestants. I was the first black contestant. It was the first show in which there was a tied score at the end. And I got the 50-point bonus. I won.
Take that!
My sister, oh, gosh, she was so funny. Because she was, my mother, mom and dad had separated. You know, we told mom, said, make sure, you know, when the show airs, you tell your dad about it. Mm-hmm. So mom and my sister were in the audience at what used to be the Goldwyn Studios in Hollywood. And my sister said, there you are on stage, pressing a buzzer going, the answer is Ann Miller. Okay. This is just a couple of years after the Watts riots, and they said that I went to a high school in Watts.
Work. And they were like, how does this Watts person know anything about Ann Miller? And this was before Sugar Babies.
This was way before. my sister just knew, said, oh, you know what? This is just an overture to the opera that's coming. As I answered one question, and mom, we were driving home in the car, and mom said, there is a white couple sitting in front of me. Mm. And you answered a question, and you got it right. And the husband turned to his wife and said, how does he know who Sonya Henie was? Mom said, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, I don't know. And I'm his mother.
Your poor mom.
God. I loved that day. That was one of the most special days with my mother. And I think that was the one TV appearance I did that impressed her more than any other one I ever did.
Wow. That's great. Because she was left speechless.
She was. We want to spin a piano. And for me, it wasn't about winning big prizes. It was proving to her that I was serious in this love of classic films.
Wow.
That, you know, that it wasn't just, this is just an idle pastime for an adolescent. No, I'm serious about this. I am serious about this. So, yeah. Wow. So the movie game, it was hosted by a guy named Sonny Fox, who was really popular in New York. He transplanted to L.A. And he hosted it. He co-hosted with Army Archer. Yeah, of Variety. And then he was replaced by the late Larry Blyden. Sonny Fox was because apparently he and Army could not stand each other.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
Yeah, so that was it. So I saw a little bit of the movie game on YouTube, and I went, oh, Lord, that just dragged me kicking and screaming down memory lane.
All right. But you got a piano. Shit. Don't be mad. And look at you today. Wow, man. Wow. That's fabulous. That's fantastic. It's like, but I mean, it's one of those things when you look at your life over the whole course of living.
Yeah.
It's like that whole period now makes sense to your life.
It really does. Oh, and especially the 50-point bonus question. Because this guy, my opponent was really good. Well, we were always like a three newspaper family. We always got the Los Angeles Times. LA had another paper at that time, which is now out of circulation, called the Herald Examiner. And then there was a local South Central LA neighborhood newspaper that they throw on your front lawn.
Go, hey.
Yeah, hey, y'all.
Hey, go, hey.
So the day that we had to go to Hollywood to tape the show, Mom took off from work, and she said, your sister and I are going to go with you. So, you know, I'm kind of like trying to settle myself. So, and as I mentioned earlier, Mom and Dad had separated. So Dad was in Inglewood living with his mother. Okay. So I happened to read read the newspaper, go for the arts and entertainment section. But on my way to the arts and entertainment section, there was the sports page. And it had a real unusual photo because we had our sports writer in LA at that time looked like he should have been in Guys and Dolls. You know, all that big cigar, horn-rimmed glasses, big brawny dude.
Big Julie. He was Big Julie. Come on.
That's right. He was Big Julie.
I played Big Julie in the St. Vincent's Players production of Guys and Dolls, but I don't want to go on. Go on.
So that's what he was. He was Big Julie. And it's like, what the hell? And he was wearing a toga. And
oh, my.
But here's why he was wearing a toga, because they wanted to send him on a different assignment. And we sent Fishburne out to be an extra for a day in an upcoming remake of Julius Caesar, starring Charlton Heston, and which will be released next year. And so I looked at that photo and it just tickled me. So we get to the show and it's a tied score. And they start to read the 50-point bonus question. They read a couple of clues. We couldn't get it. Then he said, he will soon be seen in a remake of Julius Caesar. I pressed the hell out of that buzzer. Charlton Heston! And that's how I won. That's how I won. Okay. So the show aired. And Dad came over. And he said, how did you know that Charlton Heston was going to be in a new version of Julius Caesar? I said, it was in the sports page. And my dad was like, what? What? I said, it was on the sports page. My dad was like, oh, you were reading the sports page?
Oh, my stars.
He's thrilled. He's like doing cartwheels down 124th Street and Central Avenue. My son was reading the sports page.
Because he's been living with the Maggie the Cat image for I don't know how long. Like I said, many episodes ago, someday you're just going to have to give your parents, you have to just forgive your parents because they could only do what they knew what to do.
And can I say this? Like I mentioned, I was crying at the end of that episode of Kevin Saves the World. Dad passed in 2000, and my mom passed in June of this year. In both cases, everything ended well with me. You know, it was just, I am so grateful that any little, you know, frayed feelings, everything had all been mended. And they knew that I loved them, and I know that they loved me.
Right. So it all worked out. See? Look at that.
It really did.
Oh.
But I'm no Blake Shelton.
And that's how it goes.
I don't want to hold you because I know you got plans and you want to get out of here. We do this again. I want to. I got some old movies that I want folks to look at in a new way.
Okay.
We'll do that. Fabulous. And I hope the next time I talk to you, you can tell me that you're getting some auditions.
We'll see. I'm trying. I keep sending stuff out.
Tell the folks where they can hear your podcast, where you do such a wonderful job talking to folks at Broadway and off-Broadway.
Oh, well, it's Keith Price's Curtain Call, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and BroadwayWorld.com's featured podcast. Boom.
And you can find me on Twitter at Bobby Rivers TV. And you can find me on Facebook there. And, you know, where you can find Keith, you can find me. And until next time, we want you to... Hurry back. Hurry back.
You know I'm going to have to find that song and play that on the way out now.
Applause. Mark the call. Broadway show tunes.
Yes. And she won the Tony.
You got that right, baby. Yep. Okay. Talk at you all later. Thank you for joining Bobby Rivers on Mocha.